Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to this Tuesday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation every day. If you want to stay in the know, you can subscribe. I can get the word out. Subscribe to Civic Media's newsletter at civicmedia.us/email. And every weekday, you will get our news roundup podcasts and our weekly newsletter. So you can check that out again at civicmedia.us/email. Okay, this hour, we're going to spend some time. There has been, I don't know, like an explosion of people in the media talking about is there a constitutional crisis? Is one happening right now? What happens if there is a constitutional crisis? And as an attorney and someone who's worked in government for a very long time, who's worked for a judge in the federal judiciary, an Article III lifetime appointed judge, a conservative judge, I wanted to explore this topic with you. And this is a complex one, but I think at the end of the day, I want to make sure that we understand why Donald Trump is proceeding the way that he is. And so how is he proceeding, and what is that? We've got to start there, right? And to start there requires us to go back to one of MAGA's creators, really. If you think of MAGA as a movement, perhaps you call it a cult, there's one guy who, especially in the Trump first presidential election cycle, and certainly continues since then to be incredibly influential, it's Steve Bannon, right? Let's go back. So let's refresh our recollection. This is Steve Bannon. He was interviewed by Frontline back in 2019. And he had a few strategic things to say about what Trump should do if he is elected again, what the MAGA movement should do if they succeed in placing a candidate in the White House again. Calvin, let's take cut 15.
That's what Trump is a rallying cry for that. Remember, the lead up to the inauguration is we're going to hit the deck plates running with these executive orders. We've got this whole system that Miller has gone through.
Tell me about that.
Well, an outside organization had done this theoretical analysis to show that every executive order that was still around from Obama and from Bush, and we had this whole thing. We had a team of the White House Council guys, the deconstruction of the administrative state, which is a huge element. Remember, you got two forms of populism. You have right-wing populism, you have left-wing populism. Right-wing populism is about deconstruction of the administrative state. Bernie Sanders and AOC is about more inclusion of the state. We're both populists, but they want more state intervention. We want less. In fact, we want to start to take apart certain parts of the apparatus. And so that whole thing is basically focused on the deconstruction of the administrative state, at the same time saying, hey, we're nationalists. This is about the nation. The nation's concerns have to come forward. We had, in the first 100 days, every day we're going to be hitting with either three executive orders or whatever. Number one is that the Democratic Party shattered. They don't know if they're coming or going, right? They got one group that's doing identity politics, another group that's a Clinton centrist. I said, we've broken them right now. They have no idea. They're going to have their own internal civil war, right? They'll keep them occupied for a while. So what we've got to do is just hit, and keep it. It's momentum, momentum, momentum.
And he continued. Cut 16.
The opposition party is the media. And the media can only, because they're dumb and they're lazy, they can only focus on one thing at a time. And the one thing they'll mainly focus on is either they do the horse race, or once the horse race, who's in, who's out. Right. It's like the high school, who are the cool kids in the cafeteria, right? Because it's easy. It's the reason they do the horse race stuff all the time, right? And they won't do the basic, what are the core things that are going on in the country. I said, all we have to do is flood the zone. Every day we hit them with three things, they'll bite on one, and we'll get all of our stuff done. Bang, bang, bang.
And finally,
muzzle velocity. Uh-huh. You got it. When you get anything in life, remember the house is 5-7 against, right? To get something done, you've got to go through these certain stages of momentum and keep forcing it. And so otherwise, just pure inertia, right? Or the loss of energy.
So, first of all, that guy needs to never drink a cup of coffee again. Whew! Take a breath, Steve. What is he saying here? He's saying that to exploit the fact that the Democratic Party is a big tent party that includes a lot of people who oftentimes don't agree on exactly what should be the priorities, that you want to lean into that fracture in the Democratic Party. And the way that you exploit it is by moving at lightning fast speed to dismantle the federal government in every way you possibly can. He, in fact, invokes executive orders. Wasn't it quaint that Steve Bannon back in 2019 talked about three executive orders a day? So understand, right, that the philosophy, the strategy here is simply to overwhelm. And this fits with a guy like Donald Trump, who really doesn't have any fundamental core motivating principles at all. It's purely transactional. What will sell now? What works for me now? Who is my friend today? And it is worthy of note that this very day, Steve Bannon has pled guilty to defrauding Americans, middle-class Americans just like you, who, and I would argue, a good faith, also maybe racist belief that we needed to build a wall, that would solve all of our problems, defrauded and pocketed millions of dollars. He's going to avoid jail time because he pled to that fraud, a crime. So a convicted criminal has basically scripted the political strategy as well as the articulated values, except this. When Steve Bannon talks about conservative populism, he never envisioned a billionaire overlord. And recall, just a matter of weeks ago, over the holidays, Steve Bannon and Elon Musk were at loggerheads over HB1 visas. So there is a fracture in the MAGA movement, and the fracture is this. Do not be confused. Do not be distracted. Here is the fracture. The MAGA movement isn't populist. It pretends to be populist because it has to. I'm going to get to more on that in a second. The MAGA movement, I can say with 100% certainty, isn't about regular people, though it pretends to be. It's not about making the government more efficient, though it pretends to be. It's not even about making people safer, though it pretends to be. The MAGA movement has been funded and directed by billionaires. As I have said many times, billionaires have no political party, no political allegiance. They know only one thing: the creation of more and more wealth to accumulate more and more power. So Elon Musk may appear today to be a MAGA supporter, but what he supports is Elon Musk's ability to control AI, to avoid regulation, to control government, to continue to funnel billions of dollars in federal contracts to himself, his ability to buy and sell politicians as if they were on a seller's block. That is the MAGA movement today. Now, do I condemn Democrats who have to take money from billionaires? Yes. But you cannot point me to one single instance or one single Democratic politician who has handed over the keys of government as Donald Trump has handed them over to Elon Musk. So do not be fooled. The populism is simply the mask. The idea of public safety is simply a mask. Because if you talk to any street cop, what they'll tell you is that they need people who are immigrants to cooperate with them, to not be afraid of them. They need the participation of communities in order to fight crime and prevent it. Now, why is Donald Trump the perfect vehicle, the perfect patsy for billionaires to manipulate? Because Donald Trump himself, A, is one, so it's in his self-interest, which means by definition, Donald Trump will be for it. But also because Donald Trump in his addled mental state, believes that he can be king of the United States of America. And he believes that he can be king because his entire life has taught him one indelible lesson. First told to him by Roy Cohn, which is if you act like a thing is true, if you say something enough, people will eventually believe the mirage. There's no question why Donald Trump is litmus testing the highest officials in his administration to support the lie that Donald Trump won the election in 2020. That's a lie. There's no surprise that he's litmus testing intelligence agency high-level officials to support the lie that January 6th was an inside job. It wasn't. Because if he can get all of us to believe that he is a king, to accept this, to believe that he is winning when he's not, then he believes it will be so. And he'll do this by any means necessary, whether it means torching the Constitution, making our nation less safe, doing business with autocrats and dictators, praising Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un, including tanking our economy to put the Trump tax on the back of the middle class that he swore he would lift up and protect so that he can give more tax cuts to billionaires and corporations like Amazon. If he acts like a king long enough, he truly believes that we will accept that. So I don't know what brand of populism Steve Bannon thinks he's shilling to us, that Donald Trump thinks he's shilling to us, but populism that grants the levers of power to billionaire overlords and places the funding obligations of this federal government on the backs of the middle class ain't populism. It's oligarchy and kleptocracy. I'm going to continue about why Donald Trump is actually losing after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.